Good morning. I am so happy to see all of you here today. For those of you who don't know me, maybe it's your first time here at BCF Church. My name is Bo. I'm so happy to see you. Welcome. For those of you who are coming back for the first time in a long time, welcome home. It puts a smile on my face to see you here today. We're in this series, Helping Hands. And all this month, we've been talking about this theme verse, serve one another humbly in love. That is the key to everything we've been talking about. If you've been coming at all this past month, you've heard me say this over and over. If you come in for the first time today, I want you to learn this. So let's say this together. Ready? Serve one another humbly in love. Yes, that is what Jesus has called us to do. Well, we decided to kind of give a pop quiz to our staff team to see if they've learned this memory verse. Check it out.
I want to see if any of our staff has memorized it. So come with me.
Hey, Savannah, you know the invitation card that we have? Mm-hmm. Do you think you can quote the last part of Galatians 5:13?
Serve one another in humbleness?
Kind of.
Serve one another humbly? I can't.
No, that's it. Serve one another humbly.
With love.
In
love, basically.
Oh man, now you totally put me on the spot. Can you help me?
Serve.
Serve the Lord with a glad heart.
I'm so embarrassed. The last part?
Yeah.
In love.
The part before where it starts with serve.
That's the last part. I don't know what you're asking me.
The last part of Galatians 5:13 says,
Serve humbly in love. Serve everyone in humble in love.
Serve one another humbly in love.
Are you really doing this to me?
No.
Something about, I don't know. You caught me off guard. Apparently. Something about helping hands, like helping each other selflessly. I don't know, something like that.
Serve one another humbly in love, Galatians 5:13.
I just realized I didn't quote it, and total disclosure is because I probably asked everyone, but it is serve one another humbly in love, Galatians 5:13.
This has been my challenge during this Lent season. Instead of fasting for Lent, you know, giving up sweets or social media or meat on Fridays, which there's nothing wrong with doing any of that. But instead of giving up something for Lent, my challenge was to serve someone for Lent. This is what Jesus has called us to do that first Lent. He says, serve each other, follow my example. So I want to try something here. We're going to take a live poll. What I'd like you to do is text the word hands to 97,000, and then you'll just text one of these four numbers. One means yes, I served someone during Lent every week. Two, I served someone at least once. Three, not yet, but I'm going to. And friends, it's not too late. You can still serve. And four, serve someone? So you can text right now, text hands to 97,000. We're gonna see the results here in a moment. Why does Jesus want us to serve? Because serving summarizes what Jesus called the greatest commandment. The whole law, that's the entire Bible, can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And it has been so rewarding to hear how you have served each other during this season. How I've heard of husbands serving their wives, making them dinner. I saw co-workers serving each other, picking up each other's trash at the lunch table. I've seen children serving their family by cleaning their rooms. this last week, my wife decided to serve me. She told me my car was filthy. Says there's a layer of dust all over it. There are crumbs and dirt in the back seat on the floor. Now, friends, I'm one of those disgusting people where I don't care. I can be driving in a totally nasty car. I don't notice unless you point it out. Then I'm like, oh, yeah, it is kind of gross. Well, my wife, this drives her nuts. So she says, I'm going to serve you. She took my car to the car wash, had it washed. And then she took those shop vacs they have available, and she got down, and she vacuumed the back seat and the floor on the back seat. Friends, that's love. Give her a hand. Why do we do this? Because this is how we show our love. Serve one another humbly in love. Now, I want to pop up those live results. Let's see how you guys are doing here. Every week. All right, most of you. And then, okay, at least once. Good. Not yet, but I'm going to. A few of you. Serve someone. Some of you guys. This message is for you. Friends, each week we have been expanding this circle. We started with the heart. Jesus calls us to have the heart of a servant. He says, I want you to serve. Do as I have done to you. And then we expanded that circle to our family, those who are closest to us. How can we show them God's love? And then we expanded it to our church family. When the Bible says serve one another, he's talking about fellow believers. God has called us to serve right here in BCF Church. And I was so thrilled to see so many of you stop by our table in the back or fill out your connection card or fill out the app on your phone saying, I want to serve. That was so exciting. And by the way, last Sunday was not your last opportunity to serve. You can still let us know on your Church Center app. You click serve and we'll get you plugged in. Or text BCF serve, all one word, to 97,000. We will get you plugged in. But you know, our service does not stop at the four walls of this building. It needs to go out into the world. We are Brownsville Community Fellowship. God has called us to serve our community. And friends, our community is broken. Our world is broken. But God can take you and me, and he can turn our world upside down if we will offer a helping hand and serve. How can our helping hands impact our community? Friends, Easter is only 3 weeks away. Did you know that? And in our community, Easter, it's a lovely time. We get together. We get everyone dressed up. Kids are all dressed up in their Easter best. And we have a barbecue with our families. And we crack cascaronas on each other's heads. But did you know this is also the time of year when our community is most likely to come to church? This is the time of year when people in Brownsville say, I'm going to go to church on Easter Sunday if I don't come any other day of the year. You have an opportunity to serve our community right here. I want to take us back to that first season looking forward to Easter. Jesus has gone. He's been from teaching crowds of thousands, feeding thousands, doing miracles, preaching. Huge crowds are following him everywhere. And now, something changed. Now Jesus is almost hiding from the crowds. He wants to be alone with his closest followers. We're going to pick this up in Mark chapter 9, verse 30. If you have your program, I just want you to open it up. Go here in Mark 9, verse 30. For those of you watching online, your host will post a link in the chat. And by the way, text hello to your online host. Just let them know in the chat that you are watching, that you are here. That just lifts their spirits. Mark 9, verse 30. The Bible says, Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there, for he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. Jesus says, I know my time is short. Easter is coming. He's going to the cross very soon. He's breaking away from the crowds. And the Bible says, now he's telling them, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later, he will rise from the dead. Jesus says Easter is coming. Now, his disciples, they don't know what to think about this. The Bible says they didn't understand what he was saying, however, and they were afraid to ask him what he meant. See, all the disciples know is that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the coming king we've been waiting for. And they're, to them, that means he's going to go riding into Jerusalem. He's going to set up his throne. He's going to overthrow the Roman government, and he's going to rule the world from Jerusalem. And the disciples are like, we're there for this. We are going to be his top guys. And now Jesus is talking about dying. They don't want to hear about that. In fact, they start arguing about something else entirely. The Bible says after Jesus, they're on the road, they get to this town, and Jesus asked his disciples, what were you discussing out on the road? It's kind of like when you hear your kids arguing in the other room. You're like, hey, what's going on? Silence. They didn't answer because they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. They're like, Jesus is going to rule, but one of us is going to be his number two, and that's me. Well, Jesus sat them down. He sat down, he called the 12 disciples over to him, and he said, whoever wants to be first must take last place. Underline that. And be the servant of everyone else. If we want to make a difference, if we want to change our community for Jesus Christ, we're going to have to go last. Let others go first. Now, this goes completely against our nature. We want to be first. We don't want to give up our place in line. I was here first. This happened to me not too long ago. I was at the gas station. All the pumps were full. This is back when gas was cheap. And I pull up to this one lone pump, same time as another truck. And you know how cars, some cars and trucks, they have their gas tanks on different sides? So we both pull up to the same pump, but we're both not quite close enough where either of us can claim it. Like, I can't get out and use the pump, and neither can he. We're both there, and I'm like, this is my pump. I was here first. Go. And he's looking at me like, no, you go. And so we are like at a standoff. And I am not going to give up this pump. I was here first. This is my pump. And God sort of had to do this flip in my mind. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And so I pulled out and I let him go. And then I found another pump and I walked up to him as he's pumping gas. And he's probably like, what's going on now? We're going to have a fight? And I said, man, it was so silly for me to fight over this pump. I am so sorry. And there's so many pumps. This isn't something we need to be fighting about. And then I invited him to come to BCF Church. Now, I don't know if he came. Maybe he's here today. But I do know, that's my dad. But I do know this. I could not have invited him to church if I had kept fighting with him over a gas pump. Jesus says, I want you to serve your community by letting others go first. Friends, do we let others go first? Or do we get upset when we're at a restaurant and someone is seated before we are? Or they get their meal before us and we were here first? Why can't we just be happy for them? Like, yay, you get to eat. Do we fight over that one parking space near the grocery store? No, let others go first. Park further away. It's good for your health to walk. Friends, when you're in line at the grocery store and there's a mom who's frazzled and she's got a cart full of groceries and the kids hanging off her, let her go first. Serve others by letting them go first. Easter is coming, and we want to fill the house of God. And friends, we have room if we will make space. We have room in our parking lot if we will make space. Did you know we have permission to park at that shopping strip next door? We have permission to park in all these extra parking spots. We have permission to park at Price Plaza, that big two-story building down the road. This is where I park. This is where our staff team, our ministry teams park. And you're like, well, that's pretty far. Guess what? We have a BCF shuttle that will take you to and from those parking spots. They don't actually drive that fast, just so you know. Friends, we give up our place. We let others go first. We actually have a whole row of parking spots in our parking lot for first-time guests because we serve our community by putting others first. Jesus said, if you want to be great, let others go first. Now, his disciples, they didn't learn anything. See, this is Mark chapter 9. The very next chapter, Mark 10, the Bible says, then James and John, sons of Zebedee, these are two of the 12 disciples, their brothers, they came to Jesus and said, teacher, we want to ask you to do something for us. And Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? And they answered, let us sit one at your right side and one at your left side in your glory, in your kingdom. Jesus, I know you just said the last will be first. We should serve everyone else, but, you know, the others aren't here, so, you know. Me and James, can we be like number two and number three? I'll be two, he's three. And Jesus said to them, it's like they didn't learn anything. Jesus said, you don't understand what you're asking. And then he said, I cannot choose who will sit at my right or my left. Those places belong to those for whom they've been prepared. Jesus gave up his right to decide who's number two and number three. Give up your rights. Now, when the other 10 followers heard this, they began to get angry with James and John. Why are they so angry? Because anger is usually the result of our rights being violated. Like, I feel like you violated my right. James and John, they jump the chain. They're going to Jesus behind our backs. That makes me angry because I have right to be first. I have the right to have that second in command place. Friends, if we are going to serve our community, if we want to make an impact in Brownsville, in the valley, give up your right to anger. I want to ask you something. When something good happens to a friend, is a little part of you kind of upset? Like, why did they get the new car and I didn't? Why did my coworker get the promotion and I didn't? Why did they get these wonderful things and not me? I have a right to these things. And we see this sometimes in our culture, maybe even in your own family. Like, someone's doing really well, and Thea's like, he doesn't deserve that, lazy bum. We feel like we have to pull them down, put them in their place. Why? Friends, give up your right. Give up your right to go first. Give up your right to get angry. Think about the last time you got angry. Was it because someone violated your right? Like when your neighbor parks in front of your house. Okay, I've been there. They park in front of my house. I'm like, this is my house. Why don't you park in front of your house? It's my right. Or someone cuts you off in traffic. And you're like, I have the right of way. What are you doing? You want to honk the horn? You want to wave that finger at them? Show them the Texas state bird? Or maybe you're a property owner. At our church property, out where our office is, we have this beautiful walking trail around the property, and I love to walk, and I pray for you, and I pray that God will provide to build our new worship center out on that land he's given us, and I'm walking, and I see trash tossed over the fence from our neighbors. I see beer bottles and dirty diapers, and I know it's not our team. And I'm upset. I'm like, why are they doing this? And I am tempted to take the trash and toss it back over the fence. But I realize we are Brownsville Community Fellowship. I cannot serve my community by tossing trash back over the fence. What do? You do the opposite of what you want. I take that trash and I throw it away. Instead of getting angry, try smiling. Do you know, it's hard to smile and be angry at the same time. Try it. One of my friends, she's taken a social psychology class, and as an experiment, she had to smile at random strangers for a week. So she's on vacation with her husband and with another couple, and she's smiling at everyone, and they're like, you are so weird. And people smile back. It's a natural instinct. She was on the bus, and some guy gets on. She looks over, smiles, and as he's leaving the bus, he said, thank you so much for smiling at me. Have a wonderful day. Friends, your smile makes a difference. That's why I love our greeter ministry here at BCF Church. So many of our first-time guests say the thing that stood out to them was that they were greeted and talked to and smiled at. For some, that is the only smile they're going to get this week. For some, this is the only person that acknowledges they existed this week. Let's give our greeting team a hand. But you know what? You don't have to be on the greeting team to smile and say hello. I want you to try this. I want everyone to raise your right hand. Wave it a little bit. I officially license you all as BCF greeters. God commands us over and over again, greet one another. Say hi, smile, say hello. Say hi to people in the parking lot. Hi to people in our worship center. Say hi to people in our community. Smile. Now, Jesus' followers, they didn't get it. They're thinking, Jesus, you're king. You're going to rule the world. We're going to be your top officials. We are going to call the shots. We get to tell people what to do. So Jesus called them together and he said, the other nations have rulers. You know those rulers love to show their power over the people, and the important leaders love to use all their authority. And we've seen this. You know, someone gets a little bit of power and they go crazy and they want everyone to know, I'm the leader, I'm in charge, you have to do what I say. But Jesus said, it should not be that way among you. Whoever wants to become great among you must serve the rest like a servant. Whoever wants to become the first among you must serve all of you like a slave. Circle that word slave. He intentionally uses a more strong word here, and we cringe like slave. Jesus, I want you to humble yourself and serve. In the same way, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many people. Friends, if we want to change our community, offer a helping hand. Let others go first. Give up your right to get angry. But ultimately, what Jesus calls you and me to is to give up your life and serve. I want you to underline in your notes, give his life. Because when Jesus first came, it was not to rule, it was to serve. See, God loves us. And our sin, our failures separated us from God. So God sent Jesus to make things right. The punishment for our sin is death. And that's not just death, it's an eternity of separation from God in a place Jesus called hell. God loved us so much, he didn't want us to go to hell. He sent Jesus to become one of us, to become a servant, and then to die on the cross in our place. That's what Easter is all about, that God made a way for us to be right. And the Bible says, I want you to be like this. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Jesus put you and me first when he came to earth. Instead, the Bible says he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He gave up his rights and he became one of us. And then when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. He gave his life for us. And now he calls you and me to give up our lives. And that doesn't necessarily mean to die. It means giving up what I want, giving up what makes me happy for others. It's giving up my time, giving up my convenience, giving up my resources to love other people, to love our community. And friends, we are going to do that. On Good Friday, April 15th at 5:30 p.m., we are going to have a Good Friday fish fry. And we are inviting the city of Brownsville to come. We are going to serve our community dinner. And then we're going to have the first of our Easter services Friday night at 7 p.m. And afterwards, we're going to eat dessert together outside in our tent in a parking lot. Friends, this is a lot of work. If you've ever been part of this before, you know this is a lot of work. Why are we doing this? Because we love our community. We love our city. And we know our people love to eat. So we're going to feed them. We know our people love free. So we're not going to charge them. We know our people, our city, needs Jesus. So we are going to show them Jesus' love. We are calling our Easter series, I Heart Brownsville. Because we love our city. So how do we serve? How do we give our lives to serve? I want to invite you to do three things. I'd like you to take out your connection card. That's not one of them. I want you to take out your connection card. Three things here on the back. First, I will invite. I will invite three friends to Good Friday Fish Fry or to Easter Sunday. In your program, I want you to write their names, three friends you're going to invite. Now remember, we exist to invite those who don't usually go to church. This is not for the other Christians in Brownsville. We want to reach those who don't usually go to church. Our ushers will be handing out these fish fry invitations at the door as you leave. And I want to invite you, take three. Take more if you're going to give them away, but take at least three and say, I want to invite. Now, if you are coming on Good Friday, you don't have to come Easter Sunday. It's going to be the same message both days. If you're inviting people to come Easter Sunday, you don't have to come Good Friday. Make room for people in our city. Give up your place. Let others go first. And then say, I'm going to serve. There are so many ways to serve on Good Friday. First, you could bring a dessert. We're going to have desserts afterward. I want to fill that tent with yummy, good food. You can bring donated bottled water. We're going to serve water to everyone. Say, I could bring a case of water. Let us know. Or say, I want to serve in that fish fry. Whether it's frying the fish, whether it's serving plates, whether it's set up and tear down, whether it's serving coffee and desserts, whatever your gifts are, whatever your abilities are, let us know. We give up our time, we give up our convenience to serve our community and show them Jesus' love on Good Friday. And finally, say, I'll give towards Easter. See, we're feeding our community for free, but it still costs. And you can say, Jesus, I will give my money so more people in Brownsville will know about you. In your offering envelope, you can just mark under other Easter Sunday. Just write Easter Sunday. Or if you give online at bcfchurch.com, one of those drop-down menus will say Easter. And your gift will go to reach our city this Easter. Friends, serve one another humbly in love. Jesus loved us, so he came to serve us. He loved us so much, he gave his life for us on the cross. He took our sins, our failures, our guilt, He was buried in a tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again that first Easter. And he left our sin and our guilt and our failures buried. That's the good news. He made a way for you and me to be right with God, and he made a way for us to have a new start, a new beginning, changed life. If you've never experienced that new beginning, you can do that today. Just tell Jesus something like this. I'm going to put a simple prayer here on the screen. Just right where you're seated, maybe wherever you are at home, just tell Jesus this. Say, "Dear Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my failures." He knows what they are. You just tell him silently, "Jesus, here are my failures, here are my sins." And then say, "Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising from the dead for me." Just tell him, "Jesus, thank you." And then please, "Jesus, please forgive me. Forgive me for my sin and please wash me clean." If you ask him to do that right now, he will. He's already paid for our sins. He says, "I will forgive you." And then just say, "Jesus, I will follow you from now on." Tell him that right now. We love you, Jesus. Amen.